Adam is going to be continuing the series Hidden this morning. Are you ready to hear the word this morning? Why don't you guys stand with me as I get ready to pray? If you guys are looking for a bulletin this morning, we are contactless, Lee, so you can get that on the website, seaportcommunitychurch.org, and just click right on the center there, and you'll get our bulletin. Anyway, bow your heads with me as I get ready to pray. Lord, we know that no one is here by accident this morning. We are all here to just be with you this morning, Lord, that we want to just be with you this morning, Lord. We want to bring it all to you this morning, Lord. We want to be here in your presence with you this morning, Lord. We want to soak in your presence, Lord. We want you to break everything off of us this morning, Lord. We want you to move with a mighty power this morning, Lord, so that we can receive anything that you have for us this morning, Lord. So that way we are here and that we are ready to receive from you whatever it is, that there is no unanswered questions this morning and that we are ready to receive from you, Lord, that whatever it is that has been stopping us from taking that leap to you, Lord. Lord, we hope and pray that we are ready to receive from you this morning, Lord. Lord, it is by your power that we are ready to receive from you. And we want to give it to you this morning, Lord. Amen. Let's worship.
I'm dancing on the chains that are laid on the ground. I'm dancing on the dark and light. but I'm running free, 'cause you set me free. The enemy may be all around me, but I'm running free, 'cause you set me free. The enemy may be all around me, but I'm running free, 'cause you set me free. I'm dancing on the grave, I watch them. only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. We want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God.
Changes what we see, what we see. Hallelujah. We're going to sing that again. Let's sing that again. I hadn't been a Christian very long. And one day in metal shop, Ledger High School, a classmate looked at me and he said, this is exactly what he said. He said, Whipple, what happened to you? I knew God had changed my life. If you're new here at Seaport, as your pastor, let me just say this to you. I want your friends to look at you and go, what happened to you since you went to that church? I see your more peace. One of you actually said that to me just recently, brand new here. We're going to sing that song again, and I just want you to open your heart. I've been following the Lord for nearly 50 years, and yet in my heart I say, God, still change me, still work in me, still work through me. Amen? There's more. Come on, let's sing that again. Just open your heart and just simply say, Lord, I didn't come. You hear me say this a lot. I didn't come to check a box. I came to encounter you. Come on, let's sing it again. Let's worship. Come on.
Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. We only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. We want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. Changes what we see, what we seek, and when
take a moment right now. This isn't scripted. It's something I felt like we needed to do. Again, several weeks ago now, the Lord said, go find that big poster that says no fear. And I had to hunt around this building and find it. We unearthed it and hung it up. Because that's the Lord's message to you. No fear. Amen. So, Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And we embrace that today. And we say thank you for that. Remember something. God is never caught by surprise. There are no emergency or crisis meetings in heaven. He said, I want you to win 100 people to Jesus this year. We've seen 60 come this year. It's not about numbers. That just helps us. Every person matters deeply to God. Every person is known to God by name. And he loves him passionately. And he is in. So let's pray. Next 2 months, we would see 40 people come to know Jesus. Amen? Your friends, my friends, our family. Father, help us, every one of us, just to go love somebody for you. We don't need to pound them with all kinds of stuff. But Lord, help us to share the gospel with them, to invite them, to minister to them, to care for them, to go out of our way to love them. Express your kindness and gratitude and mercy and generosity to them in some way. Help us just to love them for you. There's lots of people, a lot more than 40. But Lord, help us just to win the people around us to you. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. God bless you guys. You've been standing for a long time. Go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. If you're new around here, sometimes we stand up a long time. If you ever get tired, you can just sit down. It's no big deal, okay? We stand up sometimes a long time around here. But Chris, come on.
Well, if you're new here, we'd love to welcome you guys. And we are kind of a clap-happy church. So we're going to welcome you by clapping for you. So let's go ahead and clap for you. Hopefully all of the people that are here have been using these paper clips here to, you know, influence you guys and be bold to invite you here to church today. So, hey, we would love to connect with you, and it's very easy to do that. All you have to do is, you know, text the number that's up here onto the screen, and then a little link will come back to you. And all you have to do is, you know, take one step further, fill out that link, and then bam, we're connected to you. Or if you'd like to do it the old-fashioned way, out at our connection desk out there, you can fill out one of our connection cards, and then we're connected to you. But we would love to connect with you face-to-face. And then after service, Pastor Brad will be out there in our little cafe called The Good Bean, and he will be there to connect with you. So, you know, feel free to stick around, connect with the people here at the church, get a free coffee. It's easy to connect with you. And if you'd like to see the events that we have going on here at the church, if you'd like to register for the events that we have here at the church, we have a Church Center app. All you have to do is download it, find Seaport Community Church, and then it's easy to connect with us that way. We are also on social media like Instagram, Facebook, which I think they changed the name to that recently, to Meta or something like that, right? We also have, you know, you can email us at office@seaportcommunitychurch.org. Now, we have lots of events that are coming up, so I would like to share them with you today. We have a men's encounter, so that is, you know, coming up. So make sure you sign up for that on the app. We have a newcomer reception that's going to be coming up. So if you're new here to the church, be prepared, you know, keep an eye out for that thing. And then, hey, if you are 55 or older, you know, God has more for you. And Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie would like to connect with you, so check out the app for that. Engage, which is a way for you to be, you know, involved here at the church, is coming up. That is on November 13th, so make sure you register for that. On Thanksgiving Eve, or the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, that is when our service will be that week. If you are just, you know, one of those people that like to decorate for Christmas, the church gets really decorated for Christmas, and we are doing that on November 27th, that Saturday. And then this Wednesday, I will be bringing the word to you. If you'd like to see, you know, if you wonder, if you struggle with what happens with the Bible and science, and if you think, you know, hey, did Jesus ride a dinosaur? Make sure you join us on Wednesday for that service. Now, this Friday, the youth are going to be going to a youth rally up in North Providence. And so one of our own homegrown, Nathan Ingalls, is a evangelist now, and actually Josiah, who was an intern here, he's a youth pastor up in North Providence. We're going to a youth rally, and that is up this Friday, November 5th. So make sure you guys sign up for those in the app. Pastor Brad.
Amen. Thanks, Chris. A lot happening around here. Amen. Join as you can, and really, those of you that, again, are in my age group, love to get with you on Friday. I have something really important I want to share with you, there's more on that in the app. But anyway, I'm going to call the following people, and you just come right on up here on the platform with me. Come on, Karen Colgrove, okay, Joshua Bissonette, come on up here. Okay, Brenda Weaver-Kingsley, okay, Robert McGallis, Mary Paradis, come on up here, and because we're doing something, come right on up here, and or over here, either way, and we're doing something a little different this time, and normally we pass out certificates just before somebody's baptized, but because we did this a little differently this time, there was a delay and getting the certificates. The certificates now have their picture on them of their baptism. And so you're going to see them. So Karen, you're up first. Here's Karen's picture being baptized at Bluff Point. Isn't that awesome? Here's Josh's being baptized right here. Isn't that great? All right. Here's Brenda also at Bluff Point. Here we go. Look at this. Isn't that great? Look at that. Isn't that great? That's just great. All right. Robert. Here's Robert being baptized right here. Look at this. I love this picture. I love this. I love it. I love it. And you know what? Look at this one of Mary. I love this. Look at this. How great is that? And so, isn't that great? Isn't that great? So God bless you guys. We're proud of you. And you guys can go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and give them another round of applause. That's great. Woo! Amen. And I know that there are those of you here that want to be water baptized, and need to be water baptized, you know. And so let's flip to the next slide. There you go. If you want to be baptized, if you want more information, you know what, just text the word baptism to that number, and a link will come back to you with the information about it. And as soon as we know what the level of interest is, then we'll set up one. But I'm planning on doing one here in the next couple of months, and always a great time. And so I hope that you'll be part of it. I probably won't do it at Bluff Point, but if you're crazy enough, so am I. But anyway, I don't know if you tickled that kid to do that, but it was well timed. All right. That's great. That's great. Love it. Anyway, hallelujah. You know, we don't do this all the time, and we do it periodically, and I felt like we're supposed to do it today, and that's the offering declaration. And you know what? You're going to be seated for a while, so why don't you just stand up with me real quick like here. Again, this is not about twisting the arm of God. It's not about manipulation. It's not some kind of magical thing. It's nothing like that. It's a declaration of faith. That's very simply what it is. And it's just our way of saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. And this week, I've had many of you tell me how God was blessing your life in significant fashion, unexpected ways, you know. I mean, it was just amazing. And so this declaration, some of you have never seen us do this. All it is just, it'll come up on the screen. We'll say it together. That's all it is. And again, it's nothing manipulative or trying to twist God's arm. It's just a statement of faith. You know, that's all that it is. So are we ready to do it? You ready to do this with me? Yes. It's a statement of faith. Here we go. Lord, as I give my tithes and offerings to you today, I am believing you for jobs or better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off. Don't you like that part? Debts demolished, royalties received, is offering time. Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Be seated. That's just hallelujah. It's just hey, God blesses us in a lot of different ways. And the Bible's very clear. Given it shall be given unto you. It's very clear, you know. God doesn't have a problem with money. He doesn't have a problem with money. He wants to entrust it to us as we teach him that we can be trusted with it. Right? That's how that works. Lord, thank you for the privilege of giving and investing in this great work. Lives are being touched. Lives are being changed. Lord, it isn't just church, the do church. Thank you for that. We're grateful for the stories of kids coming to faith in you. We're thankful for stories of, God, how you just worked in the lives of our teens Friday night. And that was just a great testimony. Thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing around here. We're grateful. Thank you for the missionaries that we're able to support around the world. Thank you for all of it. And be glorified as we give. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends. You know the ways to give. Oh, if you don't, let me tell you what they are. Obviously, you can text to give. You can use a Church Center app. You can use cash through one of the kiosks that are out there, two of them out there in the narthex. You can do that. Either way, either one of those three ways works. Do whatever works for you. Okay? So anyway, God bless you guys. I'm going to go ahead and release our youth. They're heading out right now. Middle schools and high school are heading out right now off to room 5. And if you're visiting with us and you're in that age group, feel free to go with them. And we're grateful. Our youth group is growing and expanding. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Amen. Amen to that. We continue the series today. We have been walking through some of the 35 parables that Jesus told, these funny little stories that you encounter as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're stories that a lot of people, when they heard him say those things, they kind of went, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? And they're earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And they fall into some broad categories. We've been looking at them. We're certainly not going to do all 35 parables, that's for sure. We're just doing a few of the ones that we felt like were most significant for us. And so Adam is going to continue that series today, Hidden in the Secret Messages of Jesus, as he talks about workers in the vineyard. Adam, come on and share the word with us.
Good morning.
There he is. All right.
And happy Reformation Day to you. I don't know if you've noticed, but the world seems to be obsessed with fairness nowadays. You hear all the buzzwords, right? Equality, equity, inclusion. Everybody seems to be obsessed with level playing fields. If there's even a whiff of incongruity, then the waterworks start. Ah, I'm being treated differently than that person over there. Well, you don't say. You mean you're not given something? You're not allowed to do something because of your age or your gender or who your friends are? No matter how hard you worked for it, no matter how you thought it was gonna work out for you, the world lied to you. And all of the great encouragement that our parents gave us, it filled us with a bunch of false hope. Because as it turns out, you can't be whatever it is that you set your mind to, or whatever it is you think you're going to be. The world is not fair. Is it fair? that I'm never going to get a tryout for the Packers? Is it fair that I'm never going to receive a doctorate from Yale? Is it fair that I have to pay taxes to a government that uses them for evil things? Is it fair that Christ had to die and face the wrath of God that my sins would be forgiven as a free gift of grace? Is it fair that despite my daily sin, when God looks upon me, he sees the righteousness of Christ rather than my wretchedness? See, we seem to want fairness when we feel like we're getting the short end of the stick. When we feel like we deserve better, we cry, "It's not fair." But when we realize that we deserve much, much worse, we cry, "Mercy." That's why I think that as Christians, we shouldn't be shouting things like, "No justice, no peace." What we should be doing is getting down on our knees and crying, "Mercy." God does not operate on human feelings of fairness. He is sovereign over all things. He is not fair. Romans 9:18 says that he hardens who he wills, and he has mercy upon who he wills. From a whirlwind, God told Job to man up when he couldn't figure out why he was suffering the way he was. In John 9, everyone asks Jesus, "Why is this man blind? Whose sin caused this man to be blind?" Jesus said, "That's just God's providence." And in James 4, we read that no matter how much we've planned and no matter how much we've prepped, God is in control of tomorrow, so we cannot boast about what we're going to do. God is not fair. He is sovereign. He owns it all, and he can do with it as he pleases. Now, this is not arbitrary. It is all according to God's good and gracious plan to bring glory to the one who deserves it, and that's him. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, it's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. I think it illustrates this pretty well. Jesus tells this parable after interacting with the rich young ruler, this man that would have been considered blessed and highly favored amongst the Jews, a rich man, a Pharisee, according to the law, of high regard amongst men. But he had no assurance of salvation, despite the fact that he was so blessed, despite the fact that he was able to keep God's law, he still had to ask Jesus, "What must I do in order to earn eternal life?" Jesus told him, he said, "If you want eternal life, give everything away. Stop living the way that you're living now and come and follow after me." He didn't like that, because he had turned all of these good gifts of God into idols. The law of God, which we know is good and just, he turned it into an idol because he had pride in the fact that he could keep it, and that put his faith in himself rather than in God. And he looked at those good gifts that God had given him, and he saw them as payment for his righteous deeds and sought after that payment rather than seeking after the God that gave him those things. After the rich young ruler turns tail and runs away, Jesus says that famous line, "It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for the rich man to get into the kingdom of God." This floored the apostles, right? They could not understand the figurative language that Jesus was using. They didn't understand how it was that they were meant to apply this to their lives. And now I've talked about different types of texts that are in the Bible before, the prescriptive ones, which is where God gives us specific instructions on how to live, what we are meant to do in our daily lives. And then there's the descriptive ones that are meant to show us what God was doing in specific points in history. But there's another split that we have to look at, and that's literal versus figurative. Because not all texts in the Bible are meant to be taken literally. Something like the resurrection of Jesus is laid out in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. That's literal. We affirm the fact that that happened. Jesus died bodily and was literally raised from the dead bodily. Texts like Isaiah 19, where it says, the heart of the Egyptians will melt within them. That's figurative. That is prophetic hyperbole. The Egyptians' hearts didn't actually melt. They were stricken with great fear, and their courage left them as God judged them. The verse about the camel in the eye of the needle, similarly figurative. In order to defend the faith, and we've been doing a lot of like apologetic work on Wednesday, so in order to defend our faith, we have to be able to concede the fact that not every word in the Bible is meant to be taken literally. Some of it is poetic. Some of it is figurative language. But we do have to affirm the fact that every word in the Bible is true. See, if we're not able to do these things, then the Bible goes from literally being the word of God unto salvation and turns into figuratively a rope that an unbeliever will give you just enough of in order to hang yourself with. Parables are not historical events. They are metaphors that Jesus used in order to tell something about a truth, about God's character, about how he is building his kingdom. And he puts them in earthly terms. So let's dig in this morning. Parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them out into the vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth and the ninth hour, he did the same. And at about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, well, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers, pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired at the first hour came, they thought that they would receive more because each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal with us who bore the burden of the day in the scorching heat. But he replied to them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give the last worker as I have given you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. It's amazing how grateful we think that we are until somebody receives a blessing that we don't think they deserve. It shows our pride. It shows our covetousness and our jealousy like nothing else will. This is Jonah running away from God because he doesn't think that the people of Nineveh deserve a second chance at repentance. I know that feeling. I'm sure you know that feeling too. Had that. Smite them. They deserve it. Just let them have it. Why should somebody get just the same amount of money for working 1 hour when I worked all day? It's not. And then God pulls you back. And he says to you, have I not been gracious to you? Were you not once my enemy? God is incredibly gracious to all those who will come to him for salvation. God is even gracious to those who won't. He gives common grace. He gives the air in the lungs of those that don't come to him for salvation. He says to us all, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? And this thought becomes even more important when you realize that the people that were down working in that, down to the marketplace to get hired, they were desperate for that job. They were probably a hair's breadth away from having to sell themselves into slavery in order for their families not to starve. They knew that if they went down to the marketplace and they got hired, then they would have food come dinner time. But if they didn't, then they wouldn't. And their family would go hungry. Spiritually, it's the same principle. You are dead in your sins. You are hopeless to bring yourself out of that grave. But Christ raises you from the dead. He cleans you of all the dirt that was covering over you in the first place, and he raises you up to sit at the table and to eat with him. And when that happens, you don't quibble over the cut of meat that you're given at the table. You don't look down the table to see what the portion is of the person that's sitting next to you. No, you say, thank you, my Lord and my God. I pray that my work would bring glory to your name. We have to remember that relief that we felt when we were first saved, that gratitude that we felt when we were first saved. Because we didn't calculate it, right? We didn't calculate whether we thought that heaven would be worth the work and the submission to God for an entire lifetime. No, we just knew that at that point in our life, if we didn't give it over to Jesus, then everything was lost. It didn't matter what the pay was. We knew we needed that. That spiritual, that desperation that we had on that day when we said, Christ, I'm yours. It allows us to look beyond the reward in order to do the work, live the life, because it's worth the importance of it, and to bring honor and glory to God, the one who hired us on. Because if we don't hold on to that, if we don't hold on to that gratitude, if we don't hold on to that feeling that we had of desperation, then we end up like those first hour workers. Our gratitude starts to wane as we work in the scorching heat. Because it wasn't the payment that was important to us at first. It was just the fact that we needed that job. We knew that if we didn't get a job at all, then no food was coming home that night. Remember how I had said a couple of weeks ago that a saying like once saved, always saved makes us lazy? And it does. But that same saying, it lacks the nuance that it lacks. It also makes us ungrateful. Because while we should have assurance and certainty in our salvation, we cannot allow that assurance and certainty to give way to passivity and apathy, because that certainty doesn't come from anything that we've done. That assurance comes from the finished work of Christ on the cross. That rich young ruler, he lacked certainty. He didn't know whether or not he was going to heaven. In fact, he didn't seem to think that he would. So he goes to Jesus and he says, "Give me assurance. What must I do?" And Jesus kind of looks at him. "I never hired you. I don't know you." But Jesus offers him a mercy. He says, "But I will. Give everything away. Come and follow me, because you've been doing this job all wrong from the get-go. And I will give you what it is that you are looking for, but you have to do the job my way. Ah, it's my vineyard. I sign the contracts. I sign the checks." But instead of taking that assurance, instead, he turns tail, runs away, but he ends up with nothing except a half-day work done with nothing to show for it. Conversely, the guys who got signed on at the beginning of the day in the marketplace, they had that assurance. They had that job security, if you will. They signed the contract and they were grateful to get the work. But then they forgot why they were there in the first place. They forgot that desperation and that gratitude that they felt. And they started to take pride in the work that they were doing. They felt cheated, because they found out that that contract applied to anybody that would show up at any point to work in the vineyard. Both sides, ungrateful, disillusioned, but neither one with a legitimate gripe towards God. Because there's a ditch on both sides of the road, and that road is narrow, because your good works without a heart for Christ, worthless. And your heart for Christ gets tainted the more you start to take pride in those good works, to take pride in your walk with God, because then your belief, your faith begins to be more in yourself and your righteousness rather than Christ's. Don't forget, God didn't have to hire you in the first place. But if he did, or if he didn't, you'd still be dead. But God, the two most beautiful words in the Bible, but God. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him and the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show his immeasurable riches of the grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. You didn't even wake yourself up the day you got hired. God got you out of bed. God directed your steps down to the marketplace. God hired you on that morning. And what's even more, God is the one that planted the vineyard. God grew and cultivated the vineyard. And he set up your row of work to do before you even knew you needed a job. God is sovereign over all of it. Never forget God's immeasurable grace. That undeserved grace that we have received from him. Never think yourself deserving of his blessing simply because you've been working all day in the sun. Paul says that you have no boast at all, because not only did God give you the work to do, but he is the one who empowers you to do the work. This doesn't mean that we don't have work to do, because faith without works is dead, and that faith can't save you. But this is why we do the work. We don't haggle over the pay, because if we have faith, then God has set the work before us to do and to walk in. We don't work to earn God's grace. We couldn't do it. And if we could, then it wouldn't be grace in the first place. We work because of God's grace. We work empowered by God's grace. Not everyone gets a job in the vineyard. Some people will not show up to the marketplace. So count yourself blessed to be hired, not in the take-home pay. See, the first workers in the vineyard, they thought that they were worth more than they were, because they saw what the vineyard owner had given the 11th hour workers and how much he valued them. We're all made in the image of God. We are equal in worth and dignity. If we elevate ourselves above other people, if we take pride in our walk with God, rather than giving praise to God who grants us every step of that walk, then it shows that our faith is more in ourself than it is in God. Now, maybe you're an early day worker, 7 years old, and you said, "I love Jesus." You were baptized, you signed on the dotted line, and you have never looked back. Praise God for that. If that's you, praise God. You have been given more job security. You have been given more peace, more assurance, less time with fear and anxiety about what's to come, because you know that you're held in the Father's hand. You've got more of that than most of us would ever dream of having. See, because I myself am a middle-of-the-day laborer, I woke up hungover, black coffee in one hand, cigarette in the other, wondering why I did the things I did the night before, not moving, until God said, "Stop pitying yourself, get up, go to work." The thief on the cross, he's an 11th hour laborer. He thought, hey, I can get by this life stealing what I want. It'll be good. And then the law caught up with him. And then in his remorse and in his repentance, he spent his dying breaths praising Jesus and trying to get the other thief on the cross to do the same. We're all going to see each other in heaven. See, the truth is that none of us actually know how long we have to work. You could be 40 years old, be saved, and be a third-hour laborer. You could be 10 years old and be an 11th-hour laborer. We don't know until that bell rings for quitting time how much time we have left to work. What matters is how grateful are we to have the job and how much work are we putting in? Are we spending our time at the water cooler? Are we spending our time taking smoke breaks, pushing lunch a little bit longer than we probably should? Or are we just working through the day because we're psyched to have the job? And if you've been hired on late, how grateful are you for the grace that you've received? And you're not taking that grace for granted. No, you're finding those people that have been working all day and you're encouraging them and you're thanking them for showing you the ropes and how to do the job even better. And are you angry when you see people get hired on even later than you? Or are you thankful that they're getting hired on because many hands make light work and we know that there is still a ton of work left to be done? And those days when you do lay your head down on your pillow and you know you didn't put the work in that you should have. You didn't listen to what God had to say to you that day. You didn't pick up your Bible. You didn't pray. And we've all had those days. But do you say, well, God's not going to hire me back tomorrow? Or do you have the assurance to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't put the work in today. Lord, I'm sorry. And tomorrow is a new day, and I'm thankful for your grace. I'm thankful for your mercy that you are going to keep me on and that I have a job to come to tomorrow. Thank you, God. Tomorrow is a new day, and your mercy is fresh for me that day. See, because that contract that you signed with Jesus, it's good for eternity, and he signed it in his blood. It's not contingent on our performance, and we can have assurance in that. But that doesn't mean we don't have regret. Anybody who says that they don't, they're a liar. We all do, and we all should. But we do not allow those regrets to weigh us down. Because of God's mercy, we allow those regrets to be fuel for thanksgiving for God's mercy and God's grace. We allow those regrets to show us that assurance. Because it's in that regret that we most can feel God's grace. It's in that regret that we most need that assurance. And God gives it to us. When we feel undeserving is when that grace means all the more. Because unsaved people, they don't regret their sin. They don't regret not putting in the work. They take those common graces for granted. Saved people have regret over their sin. They regret not putting in the work. And they thank God for the undeserved mercies that they're given. Because they know that they can't earn it. but we work as worship to God. No matter how today went, no matter how late we showed up, God gives us the assurance that we have a job to come to. Do you have regret this morning? Let it make you desperate. Because those guys at the 11th hour, they didn't think that they were going to make it home with any food. They knew that they didn't deserve the pay that they received. All they knew was that they needed someone to give them the mercy so that they could bring something home to their family. They knew that they couldn't do it in and of themselves. They were desperate. And God gives generously to those who are desperate for Him. How desperate are you? Are you desperate enough to do what the rich young ruler should have done? Are you desperate enough to give it all away and to follow after Christ? Are you desperate enough to renounce your sinful path that you're on right now, to turn away from your sin and to turn towards God, who will receive you with mercy, with grace, and adopt you as a son or daughter? Is there anyone out there that's that desperate this morning? Is there anyone out there that needs to know God's grace, that is willing to renounce their sin, to repent of their sin, and to receive God's grace and forgiveness? If that's you, if you need to know Him this morning, raise your hand. See anyone, so I'm just going to assume that we're all desperate. That we're all desperate for God's grace. We all know our need. So before we sing this song, let's stand to our feet and let's pray for that grace. Lord God, we ask that You would forgive us where we didn't put in the work, Lord. We ask that You would forgive us. Give us grace, God, that we would know You all the more, that we would seek to give You more and more glory with the time that You've given us. Lord God, whether You called us at an early age, whether You called us in the middle of our lives, Lord, whether You're calling out to us right now, from this moment forward, God, that You would empower us to bring glory to Your name, in the name of Your Son, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Everything else can wait. I've come to seek Your face. So everything else can wait. I'm here for You. I want to just be here at Your feet. Just be here on my knees. Here in Your presence, I nothing else can wait. I've come to seek your face, so everything else can wait. I'm here for you.
Just before we go, let me say two quick things. First of all, if you're here and you've never invited Christ to come into your life, don't let the service conclude without coming up here and talking to one of these folks, and they'll help you. And even if you're not ready, they'll answer some questions. And if you are ready, they'll help you. Just step into a relationship with Jesus. Hope that you'll do that today. And, you know, of course, you can do the text way, New Life to the number. Adam's New Life class on Wednesday night. But please, don't leave here. You say, I'm not really sure if I've ever really done that. Then most likely you haven't, because when you meet Jesus, you know it. Just like my friend said to me, what happened to you? I met Jesus and everything changed. Hope that'll happen for you. The last thing I want to share with you just before we leave, we pray and go. Let me just say this to you, to all of you that are men, how desperate are you? How desperate are you to see change in your life? How desperate are you to say goodbye to attitudes that have held you in place? How desperate are you to be the man, the father, the husband that you can be? How desperate are you? That's what the encounter is about. The deadline is tonight at midnight. I extended it because a couple of you told me you weren't ready, you needed more time. I've extended that deadline, but it's tonight. I trust you that you're desperate enough to say, I'm going to confront my pride. I'm going to deal with my ego. I'm going to throw down the thing that says, I don't need it. And I'm going to say, I'm in it to win it, because I'm desperate enough to see change so I can become everything God wants me to be. Are you man enough to do it? Or are you a wimp? Let's pray. I offended you, I don't feel bad. Father God, thank you for this time this morning. Help us, God, every one of us, to just go after you with all that we have, regardless of, like, Lord, I was the one that came in early in the morning. That was me, early in the morning. And I've followed you all my life, and I'm glad to do it. And so whether we're, Lord, at midday or at the end of the day or we haven't yet come, Lord, help every single one of us to know you and to follow you with all of our hearts and be grateful for it. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. If you need prayer for any reason, this team's up here. They'll pray for you. If you're new here today, I'd love to meet you out by the cafe. God bless you guys. Go pick up your kids. Don't forget them. We'll see you soon. Wednesday night's going to be fun. I hope you'll join us.
To